Where is the wise man? Show me this person who thinks he knows everything. Where is the philosopher of this age? Bring that person here to me, that person who thinks she has it all figured out. These aren't my words, they're Paul's words from the Bible. She's not my words. Sorry, I should have made that clear. This is Paul talking, not me. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The world looks for wisdom, but we preach the cross. And I know there's a part of us that right away thinks, here we go, Christians thinking they have all the answers. Christians are right about everything and everyone else is wrong. And people tend to get turned off by religious people who seem judgmental. Why are Christians so judgmental of people who aren't Christians? It's really not all that endearing, I'm right and you're not right attitude. And I just say to you, give Paul a chance. Just give Paul a chance, because he unpacks those words in this way, in a way that might leave you thinking, you know what, that actually makes sense. The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The world looks for wisdom, but we preach the cross. Paul is the voice of Jesus. And here Paul says there are two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world, and then there's the wisdom of God that we call the cross. The wisdom of God is called the cross. There are two kinds of wisdom. And Paul says, we preach the cross. And Paul's saying, I'm not judging the world. I'm not. People believe what they believe, but Paul says, if we are Christ followers, it's the cross we need to look to for our standard. It has to be the cross. That has to be our gold standard. Because the cross, Paul says, makes the other standard look like foolishness. What does that even mean? It just sounds so harsh to my ears. It does sound judgmental. Because people we know in the world value so much the wisdom that they have, don't they? And now the Bible says the cross is a whole different thing. It's a whole different ballgame. The cross makes your wisdom look foolish. So Paul, what's the message of the cross? He's getting to that just a little bit later in this letter. It's the same letter, 1 Corinthians. That's what we call it now. In the Bible, it's called 1 Corinthians. He lays out the answer to that question, what's the message of the cross? And the mystery's over. That's the message of the cross. And you've heard those words before, the answer to that question. You've heard those words before. Don't look to world wisdom. Look to that. Entire cultures have been founded on the message of the cross. Our culture, here in Canada, has been founded on the message of the cross. 80% of our universities in Canada were founded with a school of theology. Our culture is founded on the message of the cross. I don't know if you've seen the commercial where Sidney Crosby, you know, a hockey player. Sidney Crosby says in this commercial, Canada didn't invent hockey. Hockey invented Canada. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, Paul would say it's actually the values and the teachings of Jesus that invented Canada. That's what it is. That's what it was. That's how Canada and who we are and all the values that we do and everything that we hold dear, that's how that was invented. It was the cross. It was. And it's true that our culture and our country has moved away from that. I mean, we know that. It's true that so many people in our culture have no idea what the message is about. They don't know what the cross is about anymore. And soon enough, that talk leads us to the question of how that situation will affect us. I think about that all the time. I wonder what our country will be like if the values of the cross, if the values of Jesus are taken out of our country. I wonder. And I think our country is so much based on those values, and I just don't think people realize that. And when you take them away, I think it's going to have an effect on our country. And it's true that we used to talk about the mission field being some faraway place like Africa or Central America or China. My sister Susan in the 80s went to China and distributed Bibles to people who had never heard the Christian message before. And now those people are us. Those people are the people who live around us, which is a bit of a shift. Now we're the people who have never heard of the message of the cross. And I know that there are people who think the world would just be a better place without it. I know we hear that.
And they point to all these things and say, look, this religion did that, Christian religion did that. And they'll point to residential schools as a part of that long list. And they'll say, perhaps it's better to have a world without the cross. There's a Beatles documentary I watched this week. It was called How the Beatles Changed the World. Really interesting. The Beatles came from the north of England, which was a working class part of England. And in the north of England, the institution of the church represented the upper class and the aristocracy. That's what the church represented to the people north of England. And so the Beatles challenged all the institutions, and they challenged the church as well. And Lennon would later sing the words, imagine a world that has no church. Imagine a world that has no religion. Wouldn't that be a perfect place? You know that song. No heaven, no hell, no religion, only perfect harmony. The community of Jesus followers over the years have made mistakes. Imperfect people in an imperfect world. But here's the thing. When we look on mistakes that the church has made, we see that it's because the church forgot to look through the lens of the cross. Every mistake the church has ever made is because they forgot the cross. Mistakes happen not when we follow the message of the cross, but when we forget the message of the cross. And it happens even in the church. Well, what's the message, Paul? And Paul says, I'm getting to that. This letter ends with the answer to that. It's my big finish. And it's going to slam your heart. And you already know those words. For Jesus, and Paul's just reflecting Jesus' voice in this letter to the Corinthians. For Jesus and Paul, there's a huge difference between world wisdom and God wisdom. There's a huge difference. And it's not being judgmental pointing out that difference. It's just that when you see that difference, Paul says it will help you. And we're going to spend 4 Sundays, including Easter Sunday, looking at what that difference is. What's the difference, Paul? Well, here's an example of the difference between world wisdom and the cross. And when I talk about this, and when anybody talks about this to people, people will say, oh yeah, I get that. I get that difference. Here's one difference. Think of the concept power. And in your own mind's eye, imagine people in this world or people around you that have power. If you are a person of power, what do you have? In the world, power is money and wealth. In the world, power is social status or intelligence and education. If you have intelligence and education, in the world's eyes, you have a lot of power in your life. In the world's eye, it's celebrity, talent, and beauty. Those things are all power. And the cross says, no, that's not power. None of those things are real power. That's what the cross says. Power lies somewhere else. Where? Paul's getting to it. Look at the end of the letter. And you'll go, oh yeah, I've heard those words before. And then Jesus gave the teaching, a famous teaching. He started his Sermon on the Mount with this teaching. And Jesus said, you who are well-fed think you're blessed? I say, blessed are the hungry. You think the rich are blessed? I say, blessed are the poor. You say, fight for what you want? I say, blessed are the peacemakers. You say, be ambitious, but I say, blessed are the meek. And Jesus is just kind of shifting the definition of power. The Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. It's one of the most important parts of the New Testament, the fruits of the Spirit. And that means when you have God come up alongside you in your life, or in some way live in you, or in some way live in your heart, there are things that will grow in your life. We talked about that at a funeral yesterday that we did for Chris Graham. Chris Graham was a disciple who stood behind that table. And we talked about how Chris Graham had kindness and gentleness in her life. And we talked about how that's a fruit of the Spirit. And how that's evidence that God lived in her because she lived a life of kindness and gentleness. And the Bible says the fruits of the Spirit are what give you power. It's gentleness and kindness and self-control and patience. There's a list of the fruits of the Spirit. And the Bible says that's the power. But the world says when You're walking with power in your life. It's not none of those things. It's wealth and celebrity, and it's a high position in your community, so that when you walk by people, people say, oh, there he is. Oh, there he is. That's power in the world's eyes. And the gospel is a message that turns world wisdom upside down. And when people come to know Jesus, they see a different kind of power. And it's one that will confound the wisdom of the wise. And oftentimes it'll make nonsense out of what we think is common sense. What is it that is so much greater and stronger than what the world holds most dear? Paul says it's the cross. We preach the cross. It makes foolishness everything else. What is it? What's so powerful? May of 2017, it was in the evening. It was a rainy May night. And I was here, it was about 8 o'clock, I was here alone doing something, and I walked out through the Maple Street doors, that side of the church, opened those doors just to get some fresh air, and there were two young people sitting on the steps, college age, maybe 18, 19 years old, and they were just enamored with each other. They were snuggling and giggling, and they looked like one body, even though they were two bodies. And it was raining outside, and I cleared my throat, and they didn't even notice me. Either they didn't notice me or they didn't care. And he was sitting there, the boy was sitting there with a t-shirt on, and it was dark and drizzling rain. He had given his jacket to the girl. He didn't seem to notice. He didn't mind the cold. Love sacrifices itself, and common sense just flies out the window. Do you remember the first time you were in love? Do you remember that feeling? Maybe it was in high school, maybe it was earlier. Do you remember how everything changed when you were in love? Do you remember how everything just looked different and sunnier and rosier? How light you felt on your feet? How every day just felt like the first day of spring? Do you remember being in love? When people are in love, logic and linear thinking and wisdom become irrelevant. They know that's true. You can't tell somebody to be responsible with money if they're in love, because they're just going to blow a bunch of money on some extravagant thing on this person they love. They don't care. You can't tell them this or that is the wisest thing to do, because they just don't care. People are in love, just hold hands and giggle and coo at each other. And if you're in the same room with them, you just soon want to leave. And then there's the kind of love that will cause a woman to jump out in front of a moving truck to push her young child out of the way. And even if you said to her, look, you have four children at home, and what good are you going to do to those four children who are still at home if you sacrifice yourself for that one child? They don't care. I mean, it's not a linear, logical thing, that giving up life to save someone. It's just love. Love sacrifices itself, and common sense flies out the window. Look, Paul is not mocking reason. Paul has one of the most gifted brains in the history of literature and in the history of the world. Read Paul's letter to the Romans, and you'll be immersed in the musings of a brilliant mind. But it's out of that same mind that Paul gives the answer to the question, what is the cross? What's the message of the cross? And Paul says, okay, I'll tell you. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am nothing. I told you knew those words. If I fathom all mysteries, even if I have a faith so strong that I could move a mountain but have not love, I'm nothing. For there's nothing greater than love. That's it. That's the message of the cross. If I have not love, I'm nothing. Wisdom, intelligence, rational thinking are great gifts, but only when they're servants of love. And Paul says love is the most excellent way. Are you smarter than Einstein, but have not love? Well, there's your problem. Are you beautiful and talented and rich like Beyonce, but have not love? It's all foolishness in God's eyes. That's why Jesus looked at children and said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to children. The because oftentimes children know how to love in ways we don't. And love is the most important thing to them. And so Paul's like, look, use money with care, of course. Work hard at what you're called to do, of course. Be responsible with your decision-making. Plan for your future. But if love for your neighbor isn't the most important thing, all the other stuff is foolishness. We can make a long list of people who have done amazing things in the name of love. And the world looks at some of those things and the world says, admirable, but kind of crazy. Like John Vanier, what he gave up. He gave up education and social status to just minister to handicapped people. And people said, admirable, but kind of crazy. Mother Teresa, same thing. Living on the streets of Calcutta. Martin Luther King Jr. marching down the streets of Birmingham, knowing at any time he could get shot. People say admirable, but kind of crazy. You can make a long list of famous people who live that kind of love. But there are people in this church who do it too. Average people like us. Lee in Denmark. Taking pictures of homeless people. Asking them who they are. And asking them to tell their stories and then telling us what those stories are, making visible people who are invisible. And people go, why do you do that? And she'd say, well, you do it out of love. You do it because you care. And some people just say, why bother? I do it because I love. Well, if that's your motive, have at it. I've got a different set of motives that are more about me than them. Sherry Buffon started Castle. Castle, a school for adults who learn in special ways. I would say it's love that's the motive for that. Nora McLean, who comes to this service often, she's coming to the 10:30 service because she's becoming a new member. She started a group called Teens in Crisis for young people who are in crisis from substance abuse and struggling with mental health issues. Why do people do that? Because they care. Because they love. Some people say, look, go ahead, maybe admirable, but I say take care of yourself first because if you don't, nobody else will. That's what the world will say. Of course you've heard people say that. There are people in this church who do that sort of thing. Preparing Christmas packages, carefully thought out and beautifully wrapped, but not even for your family, for people you don't even know. It's admirable. Volunteering to be with kids on a Sunday morning so that they can learn that God is real in a world so empty of that. Showing up at a music practice when you're just tired and weary and don't really feel like it because you believe people see Jesus through that music. Giving money to the church because you see the worth in its work. And some people just shake their heads. What I have is mine. It's my money. It's my time. All this sharing talk, kind of crazy. What is it that inspires people to do that kind of thing? To give in that way? Is it wisdom? Or is it the cross? Wisdom says don't get dirty. The cross says there is no other right way to live. Wisdom says what you have is yours. The cross says what you have is ointment to be used for a hurting world. Wisdom says it's dangerous and it's risky and it will cost you. And the cross says yes, all of those things. But it will be your joy. There's a story that is in all four of the Gospels, where a woman comes up to Jesus and he's sitting with people teaching them. And she has this perfume that's called nard. And it was very expensive. And she came and she poured the entire bottle of perfume onto Jesus' feet. She just poured the whole thing. And the disciples said, what are you doing? We could have sold that and given the money to the poor. And Jesus said, leave her alone. It's a beautiful thing to be excessive if love is the target of your excess. People do strange things in the name of love. And so for Paul, the mystery is over when he says the message of the cross is love. This is what we preach. And sometimes love will make nonsense out of what we think is common sense. And so here's the question we're left with. Can we live as a people who are in love? And it's much easier to imagine yourself doing that if you can experience the love of God who first loved you. Amen. Well, we are happy that Jacqueline